0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Graham Murty says Rangers are progressing towards appointing a new manager as he prepares to lead the team once again, this time against Derek McInnes and Aberdeen. Motherwell are not appealing the red card shown to Cedric Kiepre in Sunday's League Cup final win, whilst over at Celtic they're going to be without Moussa Dembele for the next couple of games as they look ahead to yet another meeting with the Steelmen. It's a Tuesday evening and that means, as always, we are joined by Gordon DL and Roger Hanna of the Scottish Sun. Are we both well?
Fantastic.
Good, that's exactly what I like to hear. Lots to get through tonight, folks, so get in touch with us on the phone lines and on Twitter. I'm sure you know the number, but if you need reminding, 0141 951 1025. Give us a call on any of the above talking points. Let's start with Graham Murty. He was doing his media duties today, Roger, and he revealed that he's discussed the Rangers management situation with the board and that there has been movement in their quest to appoint a new manager. Murty spoke to Director of Football Mark Allen and Managing Director Stuart Robertson with regards to that managerial vacancy, and he says it's vital the next appointment is right to stop Celtic's run of success.
I've discussed with Mark Allen, I've discussed with Stuart Robertson that the process is ongoing, there has been movement, but we're not quite there yet. And I think that to get the next 5, 6, 7 years right, we need to take our time now to get this appointment right. Because in the next 5 years, we want to be at the top of this league. We want to be closing the gap or even surpassing our opponents on the other side of the city, getting past Aberdeen and making sure we're at the top table of Scottish football. If we take a little bit more time now to get this appointment right, we actually get the next 5 years of progress, securing the future of this football club at the top of the league, and that's crucial to the football team. Players were frustrated, the players were angry, mainly because what we performed, the way that we performed wasn't indicative of how they train. I said to the players, it's about performance now. A week's training means nothing. They need to present themselves how they want to be perceived, and we want to be perceived as a proper Rangers team that embodies the values of this football club, and we need to make sure that on Wednesday night we go and do that.
So Rangers fans, you've just heard Graham Murty there saying that the club is moving towards appointing a new manager. Does that encourage you? Do you have any particular thoughts? Does it not encourage you? Let us know. 0141 951 1025 or on Twitter at ClydeSSB. Roger, I suppose on the face of it, this is as close to an official update on the situation as really we've had from Rangers as a club in recent weeks.
Yeah, but effectively, Gordon, it's come from the under-20s coach, a man who's been pushed in as caretaker manager. I think the Rangers fans would be far more interested in hearing from the chairman, from the managing director, from the director of football, who might give them some indication. I mean, it feels like we're here on Tuesday night and it's Groundhog Day. The last five Tuesdays, we've been sitting here, the three of us, debating about the Rangers manager. Now, I actually feel sorry for Graham Murty because he's having to be the front man for all this and field the media questions, and it's unfair. He sits there and says the players are frustrated and angry. Oh, the players want to be where the fans are. If the players think they're frustrated and angry, because the fans, as well as being kept in the dark about the progress to find a new manager, have had to sit through those players performing against Dundee and performing against Hamilton and putting in two displays that would indicate to me they've put the tools away for Graham Murty.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering, Gordon, the big question is, listen to Graham Murty there. He's had a chat, Mark Allen, people like that. Is he saying this is going to be an appointment long term now? Because I know there was one or two rumours going about that. I think if Murty had probably won his games against Hamilton Dundee, I think people would be shouting from the rooftops that he must take it to the end of the season, which I never ever believed in. We're talking someone like Alan McLeish coming in short term to the end of the season. But just listen to his interview there, he's getting more information than we're getting, and he's talking about the next 5, 6, 7 years. Does that mean that Rangers are prepared to go with a long-term commitment to the next manager?
Well, that's why I said, Roger, that it felt like a bit of an update, purely because the fans have been kept in the dark to an extent over the last couple of weeks. And also, I know you say it came from someone who is ultimately the under-20s manager, but it felt deliberate. It felt like there was a deliberate need or want for him, on behalf of Stuart Robertson and Mark Allen, to let that be known today.
No, I actually disagree. I think perhaps Graham Murty's said to him, any chance of getting a manager in? And they've said, oh yeah, we're working on it, yeah, but we're doing something. And Graham Murty's come in and said, yeah, they're doing something. Doing what? You know, we've got a situation now where the bookies' favourites all the way through had been Derek McInnes, and there was so much procrastination among the Rangers board that Derek McInnes last week felt compelled to say, I'm staying at Aberdeen, I'm not going anywhere, which means I'm fed up and I'm not going to Rangers. The bookies' favourite then became Alec McLeish. Now, Alec McLeish was getting inundated with queries from the media, from you, from me, from papers, from radio stations, from TV, to such an extent, he issued a statement yesterday saying, it's not me, they've not been in touch with me, so have they been in touch with anyone? Do they know who they want? Have they got the money to go and get the type of character the Rangers fans would want? And why, 5 weeks on, the way I'm looking at it, are they no closer to getting a replacement for Pedro Caixinha? The supporters, listen, if they don't want to tell me and they don't want to tell you, that's fine, Gordon. But they need to tell the supporters, because the supporters, and they'll phone in here tonight, the supporters put an awful lot of money into that football club.
David is in Lark Hall. Good evening, David.
Hi, panel. How are you doing?
Not too bad at all, David. What's your point tonight?
I was just looking to make a point about the Rangers manager situation. I was on the show probably about 8 or 9 months ago, and I feel as if it's like deja vu with the whole situation. At the time, I made a point that I think we should have went for a British-style manager. Probably if we did do that at the time, we wouldn't be sitting where we are just now. We'd probably be a lot further forward, but obviously the board made the choice to go for Pedro, and it didn't quite work out. In terms of the whole Derek McInnes situation, I don't believe Rangers really want Derek McInnes as a manager. He might be the best man for the job, but if that was the case, I think we would have had him by now, rather than in 5 weeks down the line. I said before the Motherwell semi-final that we should be looking at a sort of Alan Pardew, and I appreciate he may well be off the market now, the fact that he might be going to West Brom, but somebody of that ilk, you know, who's going to challenge Celtic and is going to put a challenge up to Brendan Rodgers, who's dealt with Premiership-style players and it can sort of deal with the whole circus that goes with managing Rangers in the old firm. So I think we need somebody of that stature, but I'm probably in the same boat as every other Rangers fan that we're desperate to get somebody in. I agree with Graham Murty 100% that we need to get the appointment right, but again, I don't know who that is. Whether or not they are working on somebody, I would like to think that if, you know, the board are doing their due diligence, that they should have had a plan B in place and were working along those lines. I mean, somebody like Sam Allardyce, Alan Pardew, these types of characters, I think, you know, even a Tony Pulis, you know, throwing it out there, somebody that can come in and galvanise the side, because, you know, the last couple of games, it's just been unacceptable. I mean, the amount of chances we're missing, that when we lose a goal, we seem to just get into a shell. And I suppose you kind of see the woods for the trees at the moment, but I want a bit of positivity, because we've got an AGM coming up on Thursday, and if there's no progress made, I'm sure the board will be in for an interesting couple of hours in terms of that. So just really to see what the panel think.
In fairness to David, he does sort of answer his own query there, Gordon, because if you're in a market for a manager like Alan Pardew, who's potentially going to another English Premier League club, then
he ain't coming to Scotland.
Yeah.
And he touched on another one, Allardyce, who's now opened up talks again with Everton. He's no coming to Scotland, Gordon. It's as simple as this. These guys want to keep their trade down there. Yes, Rangers is a massive club. Yeah, it's a terrific challenge. 49,000 supporters every home game, travel up and down the country, massive fan base all over the world. We know how big a club it is. But these guys do see the bigger picture, and they want to manage in the top league, and that's England just now. And I've never thought for 1 minute Pardew and the likes of Allardyce would fancy a trip north. I really didn't.
Well, listen, I'll play devil's advocate for a minute. How do you know they wouldn't have come? I would have doubted that Brendan Rodgers would have come to Celtic. after taking Liverpool into the Champions League, almost winning the English Premier League with Liverpool, the money he was on down there, I didn't think that Brendan Rodgers and Celtic would get together and be able to put a deal together that would bring Brendan Rodgers up there. And Celtic managed to do it. They went, they were ambitious, and they got him. How do we know that Rangers couldn't have got a Sam Allardyce or an Alan Pardew? You know, in the last, since Rangers have been looking for a manager at different spells, Pardew's been available, albeit it looks as if he's going to West Brom now. Chris Coleman's been available. He's gone to Sunderland at the bottom of the Championship. Sam Allardyce is available. Looks as if he's going to Everton. Mm-hmm. Tony Pulis is now available. Michael O'Neill looks as if he's going to be available. But at no stage, as far as we are aware, and I stand to be corrected, at no stage have Rangers approached them, spoken to them, inquired about them. So who do Rangers want? Who do they want to be their manager?
The thing, I'll put the argument up against you, Roger. I can understand where you're coming from, but I think Brendan Rodgers' situation walking into Celtic is completely different from walking into Rangers just now. Rangers is a complete rebuilding job. It's well documented that they haven't got the vast amount of money that Celtic got when Brendan Rodgers walked in, the salary that Brendan Rodgers got, the backing in the transfer market that Brendan Rodgers got.
He's already automatically walking into a Champions League qualification campaign.
Yeah, and well, that wouldn't happen with these guys. These guys would have to come up here and say to the Rangers board, this is what we expect, this is what we want, this is the sort of a money that you have to pay for the sort of a the style and everything we bring to the club. And I don't think Rangers have got that money.
Yeah,
and
you
it's
go,
different with Brendan Rodgers.
On you go, David.
Yeah, just obviously on the money situation, I was just wanting to make a point. Dave King, when he came in and took over Rangers, said that Rangers would need to speculate, to accumulate and spend money in players. I mean, they did do that in the summer. We probably spent more than I probably expected. But if they're saying they need to speculate, to accumulate, surely if they get the next managerial appointment right, there's going to be money there to spend on players. Because
David, first and foremost, you look at the amount of dead wood that's in Ibrox just now on decent money. And decent money. Now, I know it's well documented this morning in the paper at Celtic, earn a lot more than the Rangers players, but they still earn some good money. Where are these guys? How are you going to get Pedro Caixinha come in? And Dave King and the board backed this manager. He signed a lot of players in 2 and 3 year contracts, big money. Where are you actually going to get rid of these? This is what people can't understand. If you're sitting in a contract worth a few quid and nobody's prepared to pay you the same money, you ain't moving. You're staying there until you get your money. So first and foremost, to get a big manager in and say, one, we've got to pay the manager's salary. Secondly, he want all his backroom staff with him. Big money. Thirdly, he want a transfer budget. It's a lot of money to start off with.
Surely Gordon's, some of these players are international players. They must offer something, or they wouldn't have been an international player. I mean, Bruno Alves came in, he's been capped about 100 times for Portugal. Ultimately, there's a great player there, you know, albeit he's been on a bit in terms of age, but...
Right, but if you're a club and you're looking at this guy just now, for instance...
To be fair, I'm not sure. We can't possibly be at the stage where Bruno Alves has already been written off as
a Rangers failure.
He's been all right, is he not? I mean, he's out injured at the moment.
Yeah, let's put Peña in there, for instance.
Yeah, I know that's the ultimate example, obviously, at the moment.
Where is he going to go? Who is going to go and pay him the money? There's a lot of dead wood in there, Gordon, that needs cleared out before any of these managers. I don't think Sam Allardyce would even looked at Rangers. Absolutely no chance.
On Twitter, Barry Cameron's throwing Graham Potter's name into the ring. You know that he's going to be a popular choice for a number of jobs coming up soon, you would imagine. Hugh is in Lanark on the phone. Hi, Hugh.
Hi, good evening.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Hugh.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes, all good, thank you.
Hi, it's a question for... I called before and was really to speak to Derek Johnson last night, but he's obviously not there, but Gordon's there tonight, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Hugh.
Hi, Gordon. I'm 64 years of age. Been going to Ibrox since I was 11. Been a season ticket holder for many, many years. Was there when we were demoted down all the leagues. Been there ever since. But it's got to the point where, quite frankly, that I want to know what the team is before I'll go and see them. You know, I understand all the ramifications of tactics of the opposition if they know the team. I understand all that, but... Mm. I go and watch Rangers as a football team, and there's Yeah, I think you've used the name tonight. There are more imposters in blue shirts nowadays than I've ever seen. This is actually worse than the times we've been through when, sadly, Big John was the manager, when the team was pretty poor then and there was a half-empty stadium. But we've not got a half-empty stadium, and I admire all my fellow Rangers supporters going along, but tomorrow night I won't be there because I don't know what the team is. And quite frankly, nothing's going to attract me to go to Ibrox to watch Candias, Windass, Herrera. Sadly, Kenny is starting to wane a bit because the pressure's on him, and he's been a magnificent Celtic, a magnificent servant for Rangers. But we've got so many players, quite frankly, are an embarrassment. They shouldn't be there. There only is one formation we could play, and that's 3-5-2 with three centre-halves. If Alves is fit, play Declan John and Tavernier as wing-halves, and bring Cranchard back in the middle, put Jack and Holt either side of him, because that's all we've got. Mm-hmm. And up front, play Ryan Hardy with Morelos if he's fit. That's the only team we can play. I'm so disgusted with the quality of player we have. I'm not going to go until I know what the team is.
I don't think you're alone, Hugh. I think when you go along to Ibrox and you get chatting to supporters and even guys that sit behind me that's a bit like yourself, has been through the bad times and, you know, even gone down to the bottom leagues and haven't they worked their way back up, and the fans were still turning out in great numbers. But there's only so far you can go with, you know, testing supporters' patience. Rangers need to bring in a manager. They need to start. They need to start going forward. They need to start giving their supporters back a lot for what they've given the club, to their loyalty. And, you know, I'm disappointed that Hugh's saying, well, I want to wait to the team. I know the team.
Is this like a rugby style thing where it gets announced 2 days before?
It's very hard, but Hugh's earned that right to say that, because he's been there for years and years as a season ticket holder. And Roger touched on it, right? Spent a lot of money, Gordon. I think Rangers supporters do deserve a lot better.
Thanks to Hugh in Lanark. Bob McCallum's on Twitter. He says, tell Gordon not as much dead wood as he claims. Decent manager would make a team out of our guys, bar Peña. Stop the doom and gloom. We're going to hear from Kenny Miller after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Gordon DL and Roger Hanna of the Scottish Sun are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We kicked off by hearing from Graham Murty. Lots of tweets coming in. Another one for Graham Potter for the Rangers job. Either that or the original tweet. I just liked it so much that he sent it in twice. And Hugh Costello, to follow off my previous tweet, I think Billy Davis could be the guy for the job, goes on to say Rangers must get this one right. So lots of tweets coming in. John is in Parkhead on the phone line. Hi, John.
Hi, Gordon and Roger.
Hey, John.
A couple of points. Obviously, I tried going last night, obviously, and obviously maybe this might kind of sound a wee bit daft, but I was thinking last night I wanted to talk to Derek and Stuart about maybe Alec McLeish coming in, and maybe Alec, I'm not saying long term, maybe I know a lot of people don't like this to the end of the season, but an Alec McLeish and maybe an Alec Ray, just to kind of to get a wee bit of, to stabilise the club a wee bit, that's all. And maybe take it fair, but I don't know if managers. I mean, there's Sam Allardyce doing south. Everton wanted him for 6 months. Sam Allardyce wants a 2.5 year contract. So I don't know. Maybe McLeish would be maybe in the same lines. I mean, that if you're going to give me this, I want it for 2 years or 3 years. And then all of a sudden McLeish comes out and tells you Rangers have no contact to them. So it seems to be. I mean, Everton must be in the same position as Rangers. Obviously, they've made an approach there for Sam Allardyce, but they were the same position as Rangers. 4 or 5 weeks without a manager. Everton are a big club. I believe Rangers are a bigger club than Everton. That's only because I'm talking to a Rangers fan. But I think we're going to. We do need somebody in. I mean, we spoke about last week with Graham Murray after the Dundee game, the interview. And Gordon, I think Roger said it himself, and even Gordon Duncan said it. The guy was emotional. To me, he was gone. I mean,
Roger, did you interpret Graham Murray's comments today the same as Gordon did, listening to his feedback from the discussions with Stuart Robertson and Mark Allen? Did that sound to you like any short-term fixes off the table?
No, not at all.
No.
Honestly, I'm not convinced that the Rangers board know what they want to do, Gordon. I'm not convinced there's any, you know, joined-up thinking there. They've had 5 weeks to look for a replacement for Pedro Caixinha. I'm not convinced. And listen, they could turn round tomorrow morning and unveil the greatest manager in the world at Ibrox. I honestly can't see it. I was convinced that they would make a move, an approach to Aberdeen for Derek McInnes. Now, they dithered and dithered, and they didn't make an approach for Derek McInnes. Now, did they not have enough money to meet the buyout clause? I don't know. Did they change their mind? Did they not want to go for Derek McInnes? I don't know. If they don't want to go for Derek McInnes, absolutely fair enough. It's their choice. But who are they going to target? And when are they going to target him? And listen, as I said earlier, they don't need to answer these questions from me, but they will need to answer them from shareholders at AGM on Thursday.
Yeah, because John, the key point from what Graham Murty said today, so he said there has been movement in Rangers' quest to appoint a new manager, but we know that that movement hasn't been towards Derek McInnes and it hasn't been towards Alex McLeish, according to those two men in question. So I guess you're like all Rangers fans, you're trying to guess what direction that movement's been in.
I'm a wee bit maybe a bit Roger, and I've been fighting this the last couple of days, and this might sound like it might not happen. Who knows, it might happen tomorrow, but Roger, but I think they might, and this might be a big might, they might have something kind of big up their sleeve. I don't know. I'm guessing, like every other Rangers fan's guessing at the moment. But I think we've got to get in. I mean, it looks like Graham Murty's going to be the manager for the two games against Aberdeen tomorrow night and Sunday. And I believe that we've got to put that boy back to the under-20s and where he's good at, trying to produce the young players, because it's just the last couple of games, and I agree with it. I don't know if it was Roger says it. I don't think the players are... See this carry on that we'll do it for Murty, and then I looked at the press conference today, and I agree with it. I don't think they're playing for him. I really don't, and that would be a shame.
And John, that's no reflection on Graham Murty. This happens the world over. Look at Everton. David Unsworth is in temporary charge. Won't get a job. I know he won't get a job. You know he won't get a job. Most importantly, the players know he won't get the job. So the players are thinking, oh, he's not going to get a job. I'm not going to try a leg for him. Why should I bother? And the Rangers players will be the same. Rangers players are referring to the caretaker manager as Mertz. Now, clearly, they're not trying a leg for Mertz. At home to Hamilton, hopeless. Away at Dundee on Friday night, even worse. If they play like that against Aberdeen tomorrow night, they will be beaten. And the atmosphere at the AGM on Thursday will be even worse than we're thinking it's going to be tonight and Tuesday night. So there's a big time ahead for Rangers. They need to get someone in. I'm like you, I wasn't convinced that a solution to the end of the season is really what they should be looking for. But the status quo, letting 5 weeks go to 6 weeks, to 7 weeks, to 8 weeks, to 9 weeks, when they've got Easter Road coming up and the Celtic Park coming up at the end of next month, that's not an option.
Yeah, it's very hard to say, because I was there when Murty took over for the first game against Hearts at Murrayfield. And after the game, every player come up, big hugs, slaps, high fives, everything that went on. Same after Partick Thistle. Players were coming out and saying that, you know, he's brought a freshness, a smile, everything to it. I genuinely believe Graham Murty fancied his chances for a job. I thought the job was too big for him. It surprises me in football, Gordon, and I've always liked to ask the question, why does an under 20 coach go above a first team coach when the manager gets sacked? I've never understood that. If I was Jonathan Johansson, for instance, who's worked as the first team coach there, and I watch an under 20s coach getting brought out, putting the dugout above me, I would wonder what is going on here. I can't understand that. Graham Murty was in the frame. I read papers saying that if he gets another result against, say, Hamilton Dundee, he could have won four in a row.
Is this not a unique situation, though, just because Graham Murty's done it before? So if you remember, Mark Warburton left, as did Davy Weir.
Might have been, but you're still a first-team coach. It's as simple as that. And I don't think that people are now saying Graham Murty has been hung out to dry. Absolute nonsense. Graham Murty was put in the driving seat where he wanted to be, because Graham Murty already came out in the paper and stated, I could not say no if they offered me the job to the end of the season. Now, I'm nothing against Graham Murty. He sounds a lovely guy. I don't know him. Sounds a lovely guy. I hear good things about him. But I'm sorry, he's a 20s coach. He was out of his depth.
Gordon Hamilton says, Gordon, I can't get my head around why any Gels fan would want a short-term appointment. They're wanting to write off the season. We need a quality manager in now. And he puts that in capital letters just to really hammer home the point. Someone with Premiership experience, but no way McInnes. Let's hear from Kenny Miller, shall we? He says it's frustrating for everyone that the situation isn't resolved, but says that they can't let that affect them on the pitch. The striker says he's bored of hearing excuses surrounding the first team's results and says it's up to the players to now prove their worth against Aberdeen tomorrow.
You know, I can't answer to what people are feeling. I sense the frustration. I'm frustrated. The players in the dressing room are frustrated with the performances and the results. All I would say is, like I said, these things do take time. I mean, everybody would like it to have happened a lot quicker, I'm sure they would, to get that clarity so you know which path you're going to be going down. It's not happened. We, as players, can only concentrate on the games, and that's what we're doing. And it's really important that we do have that mindset going into the game tomorrow night.
You do feel for the fans, though?
Listen, of course we do. It's been here long enough to know the expectations and the demands of these fans and what they've been used to over the years. And for the last few years, we've been suffering in terms of the success that they've known probably all their lifetime. But it's about working hard, it's about now, it's about getting the right appointment, that we can put the right steps in place, that we can hopefully look forward to that in the future. But at the moment, the now is we're off the back of two poor defeats, when on paper you would look at them as a real opportunity to build a little bit of momentum coming into these games, and we've not done it. So we need to react now, and we need to get right back to winning ways. Again, something I've said all along, we need to find a level of consistency. This is why we are where we are at the moment, that we've never put any kind of runs together. We win two games, it's like there's I wouldn't say a complacency, but there's like a feeling, a relief, that we've managed to put a couple of runs, results together. And then the next, well, you've seen what's happened the last two games. The performances have not been anywhere near as good as what they have. So we need to correct that. And I've said it all along, bored saying it actually. Really bored saying levels of consistency and performance and the same old nonsense every week. But that is the facts.
So there we are, Kenny Miller speaking ahead of that game against Aberdeen tomorrow. Big game. That was always going to be a big game, wasn't it? But it's shaping up to be particularly important in the season. Let's speak to Mark in Port Glasgow. Hi, Mark.
Hi, panel.
Hello.
I would like to make the point that I think it suits the Rangers board not to have a manager in place for the AGM on Thursday, as it stops them taking any tough question regarding the finances of the club, the future running of the club, and the fact that they paid £3 million to Sports Direct to get out of the retail deal. And when they come out and told the fans that it was a great deal for the club, I'd like your thoughts on that, panel.
Roger.
It's a bit of a gamble if they've waited 5 weeks to get a manager so they can provoke a debate over the manager at the AGM and avoid questions about, you know, other pieces of business. I would think the Rangers shareholders would probably be asking about the manager. I think they'll probably be asking about the payment that was revealed in the club's accounts that secured the release from the Sports Direct deal. I think there'll be shareholders going into that meeting at the Clyde Auditorium on Thursday morning with a long list of questions that they want to ask the Rangers board. Some will be involving football, some will be involving finance and investment, because I think the two of them have to go hand in hand. Whoever the new manager is, whenever he's appointed, one of his first questions will be, how much investments are going to be for me in the January transfer window? Because one of the callers said earlier on, I think it was one of Gordon's tweeters, said earlier on, the squad's okay and a new manager would be able to get more out of them. Yeah, that's maybe the case, but he will need to get an awful lot out of them to get them up to second in the league, and he will need a number of reinforcements if he's any hope of closing the gap in Celtic.
Once come back in, Mark. Hello,
yeah,
Mark.
Yeah, I still don't think that takes away from the fact that any time the accounts come out or there's a bit of bad press regarding the board, the finances, the run of the club, stock exchange, whatever it wants to be, another lie from Mr. King, there's something comes out in the press.
Just be steady, Mark. We don't want to talk about lying. It's just a bit, makes me a bit uneasy, and I know that loads of people are going to think we are taking sides and all that, but just be careful. That's
sorry, benefit of the truth or misinformation, if you want to call it. There's something happens in the football side that just deflects away from the board again. And it seems that if this was the previous board, even to go back to Murray's time, if this was Murray that was in charge, he'd be getting a lot more tight from everybody, including Club 1872, that don't seem, I know they've released a statement previously in the last couple of days, but that seems to be the first time that they've actually decided to open their mouths regarding the board.
That's a slightly different point, and it's funny, I said in the show on Saturday that I think the Rangers board and the Rangers fans representative have shown a great deal of patience with the board, probably more patience than I would have expected them to have shown. However, as you say, since the weekend, there have been the first sort of public murmurings from a lot of the fans' groups that there really is a level of discontent among the supporters. And it's interesting that it's come out in this week of all weeks, when there is the AGM on Thursday, which actually gives the fans' groups and the shareholders a platform to quiz the board. Now, I've seen this over 20 years. People will phone the show and, you know, they'll phone the papers and they'll say, oh yeah, we're going to quiz the board. Wait till this AGM, we're going to quiz the board. And you get to the AGM and the hardest question the board faces is why the pies are cold. But this time I've a genuine feeling that the Rangers board will be quizzed quite a high level of intensity on Thursday.
Thanks to Mark in Port Glasgow. I really want to tell you about this.
With Wholesale Domestic Bathrooms Hillington, caring about children in Glasgow and the West. Clyde One.
Gordon Dalziel, you got your Christmas jumper looked out this year? I'm sure you do.
Always.
You strike me as a man who's got a vast array of Christmas jumpers.
I'm sure why you're wearing one of them in November.
You've got one or two. No,
I can believe it. I can believe it. Well, our Christmas jumper day this year is Friday the 8th of December, and that's just one of the ways you can get involved to help with Clyde One's Mission Christmas 2017. It's well underway already, so a big thanks to anyone who's already donated. But if you want to join in something a bit fun in the workplace, well, Friday the 8th of December is the day you get the old Christmas jumper on. And if you want to go a stretch further and try and help the most vulnerable children right here in Glasgow and the West, then you can donate £5 by texting the word Clyde to 70808. That's Clyde to 70808, and your full donation, every single penny of it, will go towards helping the most vulnerable kids who need it the most within Glasgow and the West. We're going to get your traffic and travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Roger Hanna of the Scottish Sun and Gordon Dalziel are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Let's hear from Motherwell boss Stephen Robinson. He says they won't be wasting their time by appealing Cedric Kiepre's controversial red card in the League Cup final. The Thur Park boss says he'd much rather focus on avenging their defeat to Celtic if possible than being tied up in an appeals process at Hampden Park.
Very simple. We've appealed numerous decisions. And we've wasted a lot of time and money, if we've been honest. It costs us money every time we appeal. Another reason is we want Cedric Kiepre totally focused on Wednesday night and Saturday. You know, we've got big games. And the reality is, his ban is next season in the first round of the Cup. And by then, he could be in the Premier League because he's going to be a top footballer. So I think we need to concern ourselves with the here and now. And the here and now is Wednesday night and Saturday. We will waste a lot of time and money. And we're not a club that can throw money about quite easily. And as I say, the decision won't affect us until the start of next season. So I don't deal with the process. I don't put the people in place for the process. So what I do know is we've appealed numerous things and where we thought we'd good evidence, and they've been turned against us. So we're not going to go that way this time for that reason, and to make sure that Cedric's fully focused. Instead of being in hearings, he'll be on the training pitch.
Roger, there are two interpretations of that, and I've seen many people, mostly obviously of a Celtic persuasion, saying, yeah, well, obviously he's not going to appeal because obviously Stephen Robinson realises that he couldn't possibly win because it was a red card. On the other hand, you might say that the appeals process in recent times has undeniably shown itself to be at very worst unpredictable.
No, I think if the ban had ruled Cedric Kiepre out of tomorrow night's game at Firth,
then it's a different story.
Motherwell would have appealed it. Motherwell's first game in the Betfred Cup this season was against Queen's Park. Now, if Motherwell's first game in the Betfred Cup next season is against Queen's Park and they go without Cedric Kiepre, I'm quite sure Steve Robinson won't lose a moment's sleep about
Roger
it.
Roger obviously doesn't fancy Motherwell to make it to Europe this season, Gordon.
No, and plus if I can't believe you won't think he'll be playing the Premiership.
I knew that.
Is that a little bit turning cheek there from a Motherwell manager?
I have no idea.
I like the lad. I think he's got a lot to learn. I think he's raw. he was well talked about on Sunday. But I don't think he's at that standard just yet, Gordon.
And he could well have been sent off for the challenge and missed it.
He should have been, Roger, and it certainly wasn't a penalty.
That's what I was trying to get at, Roger. We've spoken about the disciplinary procedure on this show many times, and I know you tend to find it unpredictable, so that may also be a part of it. Stephen Robinson says there have been times in the past probably where he's maybe won when he thought he wouldn't, and vice versa.
Oh, it's an absolute lottery. An absolute lottery. I would not put 10 pence on any of the decisions coming out. You wouldn't bet what the compliance officer will prosecute on, and you certainly wouldn't bet on the appeals process if anyone, you know, complained about a notice of complaint, because it is an absolute lottery. And to be honest, Gordon, there's an element of farce to it because of that.
Let's hear from Stuart, who's a Motherwell fan in Motherwell. Hello, Stuart.
Hello, yes, Gordon. I think, as far as I'm aware, am I correct in saying that the Super Scoreboard programme is impartial?
We try our very best,
well,
Stuart.
Well, I think, I don't really think it's very fair, because what happened last night, I tried to go on last night, I was so angry. You got Scott Sinclair on last night, Celtic guy, who said his arm got touched and everything else, and he went down in the box. I heard an interview with Louis Moult on the television who said, in his opinion, it was a stonewaller and he had a tap-in if he hadn't been pulled down in the box. Why has Louis Moult not been on the programme?
Do you want to hear from Louis Moult, Stuart?
Well, I heard it on the television.
That's what I'm saying. Listen, you're phoning up to complain that it's not being played on the programme. Would you like me to play it on the programme?
Yes.
Let's do it right now.
Yeah, it was harsh. I felt like we were in the game. Even when they went one up, I felt we were in the game. Gordon's made a great save from a header. It's a tough one to take.
Did you think it was in?
I did, yeah. As soon as I headed it, I thought I've got a good contact on the ball. I've headed it pretty hard. Fair play to me, it's a good save.
Obviously, none of our players are aggrieved about the penalty decision. Your take?
Well, I'm gutted he hasn't given me a penalty. It's a stonewaller on me. I've got a tap in. Why would I go down? I think it's teeny. I think he tries to pull me back. Doesn't manage to grab my shirt and then clips my heels. I've got a tap in. Why would I go down? They go at the other end and Sinclair goes down and he gives a penalty and then sends our lad off. And we've got two men defending behind Cedric. So why is it sending off and why is it a penalty?
So you think it was a deliberate attempt by Keane to bring you down?
To be fair, I've had a look at it and I can see him trying to pull me back and then he clips my heels. Whether he's meant to clip my heels, I'm not sure. But he definitely makes contact with me. Why would I go down? I've got a tap in.
Did you speak to the ref about that?
He wouldn't let me speak to him. He just ran off.
There you are, Stuart. How's that for you, okay?
That's okay, yes. But, again, the referee's decision was terrible. I mean, why give a penalty at one end and not a penalty at the other end? And also, it hasn't been mentioned, the elbow in the face to Ryan Bowman. Now, Ryan Bowman get vilified for
Is this the one from Simunovic in the first half? Kind of the side of the head? I remember it well.
Yes, because Ryan Bowman get vilified with what happened at the Rangers game, and I have not heard anybody saying anything about the Celtic player elbowing him in the face. Now, give Ryan Bowman his due, he just got up and got on with it. But that hasn't been mentioned. If Ryan Bowman had done it to him, Ryan Bowman would have been vilified again. And I just don't think it's very fair that you've gave the coverage a Louis Moult, which is good, but I still think the refereeing decisions are terrible. The quicker we get TV evidence in and the referee's decisions can be reversed, the better it will be and the fairer it will be for smaller teams.
Well, fair play to Stuart, because it's the first time in my life I've ever been accused of being anti-Motherwell. So that's a first. I can mark that one down on the calendar.
I'm not saying you, but I'm just saying...
Well, I'm the one that plays out the interviews on the programme, Stuart. Anyway, let me take your point on a serious note about the Louis Moult incident, Gordon, because lots of Celtic fans tweeted the show last night to say, it was offside anyway. Mm. And we had a look back at it and we tried to slow it down and pause it and so on. Now, when the ball is played, as soon as it leaves the player's foot, Louis Moult is already down. So the foul has taken place before the ball is played.
You said foul.
The alleged foul, Roger. Come on. has been you're just trying to be smart.
I'm not trying to be smart. I don't think it's a penalty. I think it's coming together. If you listen to what Louis Moult actually says in the interview, he says, "I don't know if Kieran tried to trip me." It's just a coming together. It happens all over the park. I don't think it's a penalty. And he's not got a tap in. The ball's 15 yards away from him.
That's a separate issue. I'm talking about whether it's offside or not.
Mm.
And Gordon, you think he's not offside, Roger. You think he is.
Listen, there's two separate things. There's two officials here. There's a linesman in the far side and there's a referee. Now, we've seen still footage. When the player plays the ball, Louis Moulton in an offside position. That's all the linesman's got to
lying
worry about.
Down.
He's on the ground, Roger.
The rules don't state whether he's in the ground or whether he's 6 foot in the air. If he's offside, if a part of his body that he can score a goal with is in an offside position.
No, you're wrong. If he runs in there, and whether he's offside before the ball's played in, and a defender takes him out, and he's lying in the ground, are you saying he's still offside?
You're talking about when the defender takes him out, right? That's a separate issue. That's an issue for the referee
to deal with, whether
the referee thinks it's a foul. Now, the referee doesn't think it's a foul. I don't think it's a foul. I think it's a coming together. But the offside part, it's undeniable. It's a fact. When the ball is played, Louis Moult is in an offside position.
Yes, lying on the ground.
It doesn't matter if he's lying on the ground or sitting in a chair. He's in an offside position.
Right. But the big decision.
So would Roger say he doesn't think it was a foul?
Which is fine, because that's just an offside position.
The infringement happens before,
so therefore there is no offside at that point.
I'm just asking, I'm actually starting to confuse myself here. If the referee thinks it's a foul, he blows before Louis Moult's in an offside position. Yeah. But the referee doesn't think it's a foul.
Well, obviously, the referee thinks we know that.
The referee thinks it's a coming together, and I think he's got that right. I don't think it's a penalty, and I don't think the one at the other end was a penalty either.
Beat the pundits with goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Gordon Dale and Roger Hannibal standing by. If you fancy your chances at playing them at Beat the Pundit, well, now's the time to pick up the phone. 0141 951 1025 and you could be playing Beat the Pundit after the news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.
Roger Hanna of the Scottish Sun and Gordon Dl are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're going to hear from Celtic assistant manager Chris Davies. He was on media duty today. I don't know if Brendan Rodgers just perhaps fancied a bit of a break going into that game against Motherwell tomorrow. So some injury news for Celtic fans. We're going to hear from Chris Davies. That's after we do this.
Beat the pundits with goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Just approaching 7:05. As always, it is Beat the Pundit time. Let's meet tonight's contestant. I think he's Chris Hegarty. And Chris is actually from Glasgow, but is in Venice, Italy, of all places. Is that right, Chris?
That's right. I
just on holiday, or what's the story?
I'm in my third year at uni, so I'm doing an Erasmus year just now. So, very nice.
How is Venice at this time of year?
It's alright, it's pretty cold now, but pretty similar to Glasgow, but it's nice.
That'll be the type of thing you had to go through in your university studies, Gordon, a trip to a cultural hotspot like Venice just to learn something different, yeah?
No, I was too busy being a professional football player, Gordon.
Okay, sorry. Right, Chris, I'm sure you know the way this works. I'm going to toss the coin. Heads, it's Roger Hanna. Tails, it is Gordon Dl. Let's see what we've got. Oh, and his head's up against Roger Hanna. So let's give him some Clyde 2 in his ear. Make sure he can't steal your answers. Chris, 30 seconds, head to head. You can pass. This is your chance to beat the pundit, okay?
Excellent, cool.
Right, I'm going to give you an extra wee second since you've got that. He's got that European delay on the phone, doesn't he? You can hear that extra second. Right, let's do it. Rangers AGM takes place on which day this week? Celtic are reported to have made an approach to buy a stake in the Central Coast Mariners from which country?
Australia.
Which former Scotland international has received the Freedom of Aberdeen? Gary Naismith is the current manager of which Scottish Championship side?
Mom.
Which East Coast Spanish city is La Liga side Levante from?
Levante.
Motherwell have ruled out appealing whose red card from Sunday's League Cup final? Okay. Let's bring Roger Hanna back. Roger, you with us?
Doing.
You are. Same set of questions to you, yes?
Yes.
Let's go. Rangers AGM takes place on which day this week?
Thursday.
Celtic are reported to have made an approach to buy a stake in the Central Coast Mariners from which country?
Australia.
Which former Scotland international has received the freedom of Aberdeen?
Dennis Law.
Gary Naismith is the current manager of which Scottish Championship South. Side? Which East Coast Spanish city is La Liga side Levante based in?
Barcelona.
Motherwell have ruled out appealing whose red card Cedric from Sunday's Keefe. League Cup final? And which English Championship side did Graham Murty make over 300 Reading. Appearances for? Name one of two teams. I'm just going to squeeze it in. Name one of two teams that play in Serbia's eternal derby.
Red Star Belgrade.
Okay. How are you feeling about that, Chris?
Don't know if you gave me that extra second,
Gordon. Oh, did I not? Well, listen, I'm not sure the extra second would have made much difference, to be honest. He was on fire as usual. Let's go through them anyway. Rangers AGM takes place on Thursday. You both got that right. Well done. Celtic reported to have made an approach to buy the Central Coast, a stake, sorry, in the Central Coast Mariners from Australia. You both got that right. So it's 2-2 at this point. Which former Scotland international has received the freedom of Aberdeen? It is Dennis Law. So Roger goes into a 3-2 lead. And then he started to pull away a bit here because Gary Naismith is the manager of Queen of the South. 4-2 to Roger. I'll tell you what though, Chris, you got one back. This is obviously your European knowledge. You're a cultured fellow out there in Venice. Roger doesn't know these types of things. Levante based in Valencia. Oh. So you pulled one back. 4-3 at this point. Cedric Kipre was the answer to the next one. So you're still one down. And this is where Roger pulled ahead. Reading is where Graham Murty made 300 appearances. And Red Star and Partizan Belgrade play in Serbia's eternal derby. So that was a 7-4 victory for Roger Hanna. Thanks for taking part though, Chris.
It's not worried. If it was the Specky Tube, I would have won.
Exactly. The Specky Tube is not on tonight. You can hear him again on Friday. Thank you, Chris. Good man. Well, that was Chris calling in from Venice. Just goes to show that you might think that when you're out there you've got other things to do than listen to Super Scoreboard, but I like to see that Chris is showing good loyalty there. I like that. I'm happy with that. You, Gordon?
Yeah, I'm just delighted it was Roger because I only got four, so
were you struggling? To a
tiebreak.
Oh no, we don't want a tiebreak.
I'm looking at that tiebreak question. You would not have enjoyed that.
No,
I think your brain would have been fried by the time I got to the second comma. John's in Linwood. Hi, John. Hello, John.
Hi, guys. Sorry.
No, you're okay.
How's the guys?
All good, John. How are you?
Can I speak to the legend, please?
Roger's listening.
Roger, can I speak to the legend, please? Roger, you're a legend in your own game, mate.
I'm not a legend in my own house.
What is legend? Obviously, you know you're a bit of a legend. I want to ask a big favour of you before I get to my point about goalkeepers. Right, okay. You know, it's my birthday today and I was hoping maybe...
Happy birthday, John.
Thanks, I was hoping the legend would sing it for me, but... and I know there would be a fee legend, because you are a legend. Would you do that for me, please?
Happy birthday, dear John. Happy birthday, dear John.
That's plenty.
No, happy legend, birthday, dear John. I mean the Marvin Monroe style.
Oh, this show has hit an all-time low, hasn't it? I'm more than willing to admit it.
Thank you, legend. You are a legend. Listen, guys, I want to talk about goalkeepers. You know, in the modern day game for goalkeepers, they've got to be pretty good with the feet, as in, like, you know, kicking the ball, a wee bit of dribbling. I can't wait till the first goalkeeper wins the Golden Boot, because honestly, I think I'm going to go to our goalkeeper, Craig Gordon. You know, after the French game, you know, I heard on the show, you know, give the number two goalkeeper a shout, which I thought was absolutely rubbish, because we all know Gordon isn't comfortable on his feet, but one thing he can do is give great, magnificent, world-class saves. I'm not just talking about the one on Sunday. He does it quite a lot. But does a goalkeeper have to be a good dribbler? I mean, are we forcing it on goalkeepers now to be good dribblers, or no, just leave goalkeeper? You know, Gordon's got a natural talent to save magnificent goals. Now, I'm sure Brendan wouldn't hassle the guy to concentrate on his passing, because then you're messing with his head, or should I say his feet, rather than concentrating on what comes natural to the guy, and that's his hands.
Well, John, to be honest, and I'm sure Gordon will back me up here, that's exactly who it comes from, is Brendan Rodgers. There's absolutely no doubt about that.
Well, De Vries was brought in because he was better at it, Gordon.
Perceived to be better.
Yes, and unfortunately for him, His other part of his goalkeeping duties weren't up to scratch, and Craig Gordon come back in. I think he's improved since Brendan Rodgers has come in. You even watch him at the warm-ups. The goalkeeping coach Stevie Woods comes out and they practice this, because they know that if they can't get down a side of the park because the passes aren't on or it's quite tight, Brendan Rodgers encourages his defenders to come. The goalkeeper is now part of it. He's like a sweeper. He's got to come out. He's got to be comfortable. He's got to kick that ball. But I do agree with what John said. Everybody was speaking about, you know, Craig Gordon's performance, and I was one of them. I thought he was poor against PSG. I thought he could have saved one or two of them anyway. But everybody has off nights, and at the minute it's a goalkeeper, it's highlighted a lot more. But I think on Sunday, everybody talks about his save. I don't go with the reaction of the save. I think the save's magnificent because of his positioning, Gordon. I think his position has put him in an opportunity to throw his shell at that ball and save that. I think Craig Gordon's a real good goalkeeper. You know, he left Hearts to go to Sunderland for £9 million, paid a lot of money for him. Yes, I think Brendan Rodgers is a guy that dictates that his goalkeeper has got to play from the back and he's got to look to be comfortable. Is Craig Gordon one of the best at that? No, he's not. But he certainly is improving, but he has his off days like everybody else.
I mean, John, surely you see that the way Brendan Rodgers wants to play totally relies on Craig Gordon doing that, and that if he just kicked it up the field like you perhaps want him to, then the full thing falls apart because he wants to get it to Scott Brown coming deep, and then that allows the fullbacks to get up the park and so on and so forth.
But I just think, you know, I mean, Craig, you know, he's a mature man. I mean, fair enough that I was in his younger days where he would have trained to do that, but I just think to force, well, not force, but something that's not natural to him. I mean, how do you get that, you know, natural for his feet? It must be difficult for the guy, and it must put some pressure on the guy. And obviously pressure comes with, you know, making mistakes, and rather just letting the guy do what he's been doing since he's been a goalkeeper.
But John, John, when you play with teams and the managers...
Is there not another way of looking at this, Gordon, that if Craig Gordon doesn't want to do that, he won't be in Brendan Rodgers' team?
Correct. It's as simple as that. If he doesn't try that... And I've watched Brendan Rodgers at Celtic Park, especially when Craig Gordon was kicking it in the early days when he was encouraged, when Brendan Rodgers came in and put him back in the side, and he was kicking it to the fullbacks. He likes to kick it to either fullback. And he was kicking out the park, and Brendan Rodgers was standing there shaking his head like, this is not acceptable. John talks about why put him under pressure. That's what you are as a football player. If you're earning big money, you're playing with a big club. Sometimes you've got to be put under pressure, because if you don't get to that level, then someone's going to come in and replace you. Look at James Forrest, for instance, just now. Why do you think James Forrest is playing the way he's playing? Because he's under pressure with Paddy Roberts sitting waiting to take his place. I think it's a good thing you have to put players under pressure.
It's funny, Daz. Craig Gordon has worked extremely hard in the last couple of seasons on improving his kicking and improving it, you know, his game with the ball at his feet. I actually thought in the last month or so he's gone through a spell where he didn't look comfortable again, having looked really, really good for a long time. I thought he was almost back to the days where couple of times a game it was getting shelled out the park. And listen, everybody's, you know, goes in and out of form, but if he produces a save, the one from Louis Malt, if he produces one of them every game, and you're right, his positioning was excellent, you need to be there to save it, and he was there and he saved it. If he keeps producing saves like that, I think they'll forgive him if he boots a couple out the park.
Well, Celtic assistant Chris Davies says tactical flexibility will be the key for Celtic as they set to take on Motherwell for the second time in just 4 days. The two sides then also play at Celtic Park on Saturday, making it 3 games in 1 week. Davies says Motherwell will be fired up after the final defeat, but doesn't expect them to be any more aggressive.
In fairness, Motherwell have played, from to my knowledge, 3 different systems of play this season, maybe four, predominantly one, but... They've played 4 systems, we've played more than that. So both teams can be flexible tactically in terms of the system of play. So that will bring a new dimension to the game in terms of how both teams set up. And I think that's probably going to be the intriguing part of the week, is how teams adapt game to game, having played against each other a few days earlier. We have our plan for that, what we want to do and how we want to approach the game, and I'm sure they do as well. I'm not anticipating them to be any more physical than they were trying to be on the weekend. I'm anticipating them to play the same style, with that same intensity and the same aggression, which they've every right to do, and they've been getting them results in the league. And we'll be planning to give them problems and tweak our system to make sure that we win the game. That's how I'd expect it to go.
Now, Chris Davis also announced today that Moussa Dembele is out injured, Roger. He's certainly going to miss that game tomorrow, the one at the weekend as well, and probably or possibly the one against Anderlecht, most importantly, next week in the Champions League as well.
Yeah, that'll be the crucial one. I think these two games, Celtic could get through without Moussa Dembele. I think Brendan Rodgers would want Moussa Dembele there for the Anderlecht game next week, one of the pivotal games in Celtic's season. If they avoid defeat by, I think it's 3 goals, they're in the knockout stages of the Europa League, which would represent an advancement on their European displays last season. And Dembele's key. He's back in a bit of form. He's scoring goals again, and Celtic will want him there. Lee Griffiths will play tomorrow. Lee Griffiths will play on Saturday. Lee Griffiths might play next Tuesday night against Anderlecht if Dembele doesn't make it. But Celtic's preference, as you saw at the weekend with the selection, would be for Dembele to be fit and available.
Jerry is in Cardonald. Hi, Jerry.
Hello.
Hi.
Hold on, I think you're on speaker.
Oh. That is now, Jerry.
Yeah.
Good man.
It was regarding Graham Murphy's statement saying it's going to take 5 or 6 years for Rangers to get back to the top of the league. See, if I was a Rangers supporter, I would be up in arms, absolutely disgusted. How can any manager, Murphy Salt, turn around and say that? We're talking about 10 in a row for Celtic. He's talking about maybe 11 or 12. How does that make the rest of the Rangers fans feel? Do they know up in arms? Should they not be saying something serious to the board?
Roger, correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think Graham Murphy said it would take 5 years, but he said, you know, within 5 years, that's where we want to be. Maybe that's the same thing, but I tend to see that as being just slightly different.
Yeah, but even at that, I take on board the point Jerry's making. I don't think
they shouldn't be setting the sights so far into the future.
Listen, Graham Murphy very probably believes that. I don't think it helps anyone at Rangers for Graham Murphy to say that publicly. It could take 5 or 6 years. The mantra that should be coming out of Rangers at the minute is, whether they believe it or not, they should be saying, we're going to get a manager in and we're going to spend money and we're going to try and close the gap. Rangers are needing to win friends among their own support at the minute. And unfortunately, statements like that today, Jerry, you're absolutely right. It doesn't help. It's not Graham Murphy's fault. Graham Murphy shouldn't have been put in this position. He is now the front man, the spokesman, the only senior Rangers employee who is being put up to speak to the media. He speaks through the media to the fans. No sign of the chairman, no sign of the managing director, no sign of the director of football either.
That's a disgrace, but we want Scottish football to do well in Europe, right? Celtic are holding the flag just now, doing well. People might criticise us because we got beat by Paris Saint-Germain, a team that's on a different planet to anybody else we've played against. We've held our own against Barcelona in the past, Real Madrid in the past. Fair news, we still get beat. But we're still the only team in Scotland that are putting in a challenge, and we're looking for challenges in Scotland to make it harder for us, and it's not happening. And if Rangers are going to say it's going to take us 5 years to challenge Celtic, what are we meant to do, or what is Scottish football meant to do for the next 5 years?
Big question from Jerry in Cardonald. Thanks for that call. St Mirren fans, if you're on the way to tonight's game, well, here's your starting lineup. You've got Craig Sampson in goal, back four of Smith, Baird, Davis and Eckersley, McShane, McGinn, McGuinness and Smith in midfield, with Morgan and Riley in attack. And Livingston fans, maybe you're coming through as well. Alexander, Lithgow, Halkett, Gallagher, Byrne, Pittman, Longridge, Jacobs, Mullen, Cadden and Carrick. We're going to hear from Derek McInnes after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Roger Hannah of the Scottish Sun and Gordon Dielle are with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Anyone who watches the clock at this time will know we always do the full-time teaser. Roger in particular loves the full-time teaser. Gordon not so much, but he's going to have to love this one. This one's been sent in by David Lynn.
Ooh, David Lynn.
Do you know David or something? What was the...
No, it's just a little change for Smith or Burns.
All right, okay. No, this is David Lynn. David Lynn sent this one in. He actually sent it in quite a while ago, so he's probably thinking that I was never going to get round to it, but that's what sometimes happens. You just pick the right night for them. So, he says, Gordon, I think this one is a belter. So I'll leave that up to you guys to decide. We're looking for the top 10 oldest English Premier League goal scorers. Now, Gordon, even you... Won't need me to repeat that, surely.
Yeah, please.
The top 10 oldest English Premier League goal scorers. So the old golden oldies. Must be who off the top of your head. Come on.
You must have something. Gary McAllister.
To kick me off. No.
Gordon Strachan.
No.
Oh, this has got to be a long night.
No, it's not. English Premier League, 92 onwards.
92 onwards. Teddy Sheringham.
Yes, top of the list.
Different class.
40 years and 268 days, would you believe, when he scored his final goal in the English Premier League.
Peter Dwight Finch. York?
No, no.
Peter Beardsley?
Mm-mm.
Les Ferdinand?
Nope. Give you a couple of seconds to think about this while we go back on the phone lines. John is in Hamilton. Hi, John.
Hi, panel. How are you?
Not
Hi,
bad.
John.
How are you?
Hi, John.
I'm not too bad.
Stuff.
I've got a bit of information for you guys. Don't know what truth is in it. It's Andreas Villas-Boas is supposedly leaving Shanghai and is heavily linked with the Rangers job. Now, I have a friend in the media.
John!
Oh, 2 seconds.
Is that
you've not got a friend in the house.
John's in trouble.
Sorry, panel. I told you I'm on the phone to the radio.
Super.
I told you I was on...
John, is that the good lady in the background?
Yes, it is, panel.
What's her name? We'll give her a shout out. That was tremendous.
I'm so sorry.
Oh my goodness. John, you're in trouble. You're in serious trouble. You better make this point quickly.
Yeah, just whatever
he's
like to make
it
that panel.
What that shout in the background or your information?
I think we need to talk about AVB before there's GBH.
So we didn't actually get the end of your point, John. Were you trying to say that Andre Villas-Boas could be the next Rangers manager? Is that where you were going?
That's what I'm saying, yes.
Oh, Roger, I am not an expert in these things, but I bet you Andre Villas-Boas' salary at Shanghai was eye-watering.
Very probably. And his salaries at Chelsea and Tottenham would have been eye-watering as well. I'm always loath to rule anything out, particularly after the last Rangers manager was Pedro Caixinha. Anything's possible.
Even Andre Villas-Boas?
I haven't heard this one, but as I said earlier on, maybe Rangers have something up their cuff. Maybe Andreas Villas-Boas is going to be paraded at the AGM and at Clyde Auditorium on Thursday. If he is, I know nothing about it, but we'll investigate.
Gordon, I'm going to make a wild guess here that you are not quite as open to the idea as Roger is.
No, I think it'd be a real shot in the dark. The one advantage is he was very well known for kneeling down in the dugout, so we get plenty of room to watch a game, but I don't see that being one, Gordon.
John,
we don't know. We really don't know, but I don't see that.
John, elaborate. I think you went on to say something about a friend in Shanghai before your wife started bawling at you and it all got a bit hectic. Oh, he's gone. Oh, she's pulled the plug. She's pulled the phone from the wall.
I fear for John.
Did we have an address for John? I think somebody needs to go around there.
Let's get around and look after him.
Hashtag pray for John.
He's in Hamilton, Gordon. So maybe on your way home you could swing by, because
I'm
worried
near that.
I think John's in serious bother. John, right. Please call us back. Give us three rings, John, and let us know that you're okay. Oh, I'm worried. She sounded angry, didn't she?
Oh my God.
Anyway, how are we getting on with this teaser?
Is Gareth McCauley one?
No, not a bad shout, but he's not on it. I mean, there's some
Giggs.
Yes, Giggs. There you
well
go.
Done, Dad.
Ryan Giggs. He was 39 when he scored his last English Premier League goal.
What about the lad that played with QPR? Les Ferdinand.
Roger already said him. It was 2 minutes ago, so it's still no.
It's still a no.
Alright, could he not sneak in with a couple of goals? Hughes. Mark Hughes.
Well done.
Dazzler, you're leaving me trailing here. Well done.
This is very strange. So Gordon's got three already, and Rogers not got any. I don't know.
You have to remember Gordon is significantly older than me, so he's going
to. Alan Shearer can't be one, can he?
No, he can't. No,
no, I didn't. No. I was ruling him right out. Alan Shearer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm interested. This it's not often Roger toils like. Let's hear from Derek McInnes while Roger tries to get his act together. He says there'll be no added edge to the game at Ibrox tomorrow. That's despite constant rumours linking him with the vacant job at Rangers. In case you hadn't heard, the Dons can of course stretch a 9-point gap over the Ibrox side tomorrow, and McInnes says he and his players will not be getting caught up in any of the hysteria.
I think it's going to be a tough game. We've got a lot of good players. They've got their own added motivation as well. There's no stop a run of two defeats. So I think that, you know, I'm sure their supporters will get behind their team, our supporters will get behind our team. And as I say, it's we're just wanting our players to bring a performance they're capable of. I thought we'd get far closer to that on Sunday. I think the game, as I said, has always been, I'm sure, look, when the fixtures come out, you know, I think probably both sets of players and certainly supporters will look at the fixtures as one of the better fixtures and one that they'll relish, and so they should. You know, going and playing in front of 50,000, I think it's great for any player to go and show what they're about. I've always wanted my team to be confident and carry themselves in the right way, and wherever we're playing at, you know, whether it's playing at Hamilton when there's hardly anybody there or whether it's playing at Ibrox or Parkhead, I always want us to go and show what we're all about.
What sort of tweets are coming in for John? Poor John in Hamilton. There's actually hashtag pray for John. Starting to on Twitter. I can see who we've got: Ollie Reynolds, Darius McDermott as well, Anthony Clark. Pray for John. John's in serious trouble.
Have we alerted the authorities?
I don't know. I think maybe we should. This is, I was going to say it's not a laughing matter, as I say that through tears of laughter, so I'm slightly contradicting myself here, but unbelievable. And then another one coming in, says Scott has been in touch. He says, I don't know what's funnier, the AVB shout or John's wife. So there we are. Okay. I'm looking at this teaser. John Clark, he admits that he's heard it before, but he's got one, which is an absolute stinker. It's a stinker.
What about the lad centre forward? He's now a coach. Phillips, what'd you call him?
Kevin Phillips.
Kevin Phillips.
No.
He's all put Niall Quinn.
Let's not get too distracted with the teaser at the moment. There's plenty of time. We just heard from Derek McInnes. The good thing about this fixture, Gordon, is Aberdeen against Rangers is, you know, it's always a fixture that we look Rangers against Aberdeen, sorry, it's always a fixture that we look for. It was going to be a cracker anyway. Mm-hmm. And now with all of this sideshow about, you know, Derek McInnes, was he wanted by Rangers? Is he still wanted by Rangers? It's just all set up for an absolute cracker at Ibrox tomorrow.
And it's going to be a packed house, and it adds a bit of spice to it, because if Derek has now come out in public and said, look, I've had enough of this Rangers chat, he will be desperate to get down there and show Rangers Football Club what they were missing. Why did you not come for me right away? Why did you not come in and have a chat with me to see if you wanted me to become the manager, rather than all the speculation? Whereas Rangers with Graham Murty will be saying, well, I'm not going to be in the hot seat for too long now, because he's come out and said that they're now making progression and trying to get someone. He'll want to finish on a high. So adds a bit of spice. Tomorrow night and Sunday, it's going to be a terrific few days.
I think it is going to be a terrific few days. You've heard of Helicopter Sunday. Well, tomorrow you've got Ill Will Wednesday, because the Motherwell fans are unhappy at the manner of their cup final defeat. The Celtic fans are unhappy because Moussa Dembele's been injured at the hands of a Motherwell player. The Aberdeen fans are unhappy that Ryan Jack has defected to Rangers, and there was so much talk of Derek McInnes following him and Kenny McLean following him. And the Rangers fans are unhappy with Aberdeen because after 25 years, Aberdeen finally won at Ibrox and fancy their chances to do so again. So tomorrow night, when they all go together, and again at the weekend, when they all go together again, there could be fireworks.
I mean, how does this play out? What sort of reception does Derek McInnes get at Ibrox tomorrow? Any different from normal? I mean, it's certainly a unique set of circumstances, whichever way you look at it.
It's a quite remarkable set of circumstances that Derek McInnes, having been linked so heavily with the Rangers vacancy, will come through the front doors at Ibrox tomorrow night as Aberdeen manager, having already reaffirmed his loyalty to Aberdeen and told Stuart Milne he is going nowhere. He will also arrive fancying his chances of winning the game, having watched Rangers' last two performances and his own team's last performance at Kilmarnock at the weekend. And where Derek McInnes to lead Aberdeen to wins against Rangers tomorrow night and again at Pittodrie on Sunday, it will put Rangers in a very, very difficult position.
I'm pleased to say that Pray for John, hashtag Pray for John, is picking up quite a lot of traction on Twitter here. I'm scrolling through, I'm looking for answers to the teasers in amongst the Pray for Johns. Lots of people get involved. Jane McConaughey, I can see, yep, John's in trouble. Oh, Nathan Dillon John. Says, sounds like John's not getting his dinner tonight. I think that's the least of John's worries, to be honest. Mark is in Newton Mearns. Hi, Mark.
Hiya, how you doing?
Hi, Mark.
Not bad.
My point's just about their kind of management of Rangers at the moment. I think more has to be put towards the board. I think when it comes to the AGM on Thursday, I think the fans should be quite vocal in getting the managing kind of directors out of there. They made a massive mistake appointing Caixinha in the first place. And this hesitancy that they've got appointing a new manager has just put us in a bad situation to even worse. And I think with the two games coming up against Aberdeen, having no manager in charge and having a squad that clearly doesn't look interested, I think we can totally write this season off. But I think that the blame has to be put onto the board instead of being put onto the squad and Graham Murray at the moment, which I don't really see a lot of.
When you say write this season off, Mark, in terms of what did you think you could achieve that you now don't think you can?
I thought a respectable campaign in Europe, like not even getting to the group stages, but just making an account of ourselves, and then maybe a run in the cup and then finishing second. Although the financial difference between Celtic and Rangers is massive, I think the difference between Rangers and everybody else is massive. So we should be cement ourselves as the second best team league-wise, whereas when you see us playing against teams like Aberdeen and even Hibs and Hearts, we got the result against Hearts a couple of weeks ago, but we're not any better than them. And even on our day, we can't even beat teams like Hamilton or Dundee. So it's...
So you're already resigned to not even finishing second, Mark? I mean, you don't need me to tell you. It is November. There's a long way to go. I appreciate that it maybe doesn't look too good at the moment, but
I can't see Rangers finishing above Aberdeen. I mean, Aberdeen have spent really well in the summer. They lost Johnny Hayes, but Ryan Christie is some signing, and I think when they lost Ryan Jack, you know, they've replaced them with players that have been good enough quality to keep them where they are in the league. I don't even think McInnes would come to Rangers because there's no guarantee that they would get any money. So you don't know what Rangers have been saying to the managers. So, okay, so look at the money they've spent on Caixinha's players. They're still under contract. So what would they offer in a new manager?
I suppose one thing is for sure, Gordon, even if Mark's fairly sure that he thinks Rangers can't finish second, what is for sure is it will go a long way. These two games in the next couple of days will go a long way to deciding it, because it's 6 points at the moment, and you would have to say that is certainly doable. But if Aberdeen suddenly go and win them both, 12. the picture changes completely, and that's why this is such a big week on and off the park.
And plus the fact we don't know what Hibs are going to give us. 1 week you look at this Hibs side and you think, yeah, they're going to be there all season, they'll be up, you know, challenging for top four, and then they get a poor result. And you know, but Neil Lennon's got a good side there as well. So there's a lot of competition. And you're right, I think even as much as it's only the end of November just now, these two games coming up are real big games. I don't think Rangers can afford to lose these, Gordon, or they're going to slip right down the pecking order here.
You know, I like to deal with hypotheticals on here, Mark. So I'm just wondering, if Rangers can win tomorrow, would that change your mind?
Well, no, not really, because that would probably be a bit of a flash in the pan. It's all well and saying if Rangers win their games they could finish second, but they're not winning games. So that's the biggest issue for me. Hypothetically, if we do win the next two games, yes, we'd beat Aberdeen twice, but we can't go to teams like Dundee on a Friday night and win. We can't beat Hamilton Accies at home. So I think a consistent performance is needed, whereas two games against Aberdeen I don't think is going to make a difference, because we're still to go to Parkhead at the end of next month.
Roger, I'm not sure how many Rangers fans would agree with Mark, but he's outlining a fairly bleak scenario there over the next month or so.
On the show on Saturday, Hugh Keevans, and he repeated it again last night, outlined a bleak scenario of Rangers tumbling in.
He's the master of the bleak scenario though.
But if you look at the fixtures prior to the winter break, Rangers have to go to Easter Road, having already lost at home to Hibs. They have to go to Celtic Park. They have awkward games against the likes of Motherwell, who have already beaten them in a League Cup semi-final. And if they perform, and John, Mark's right, if they perform the way they did at Dens Park on Friday and at Ibrox against Hamilton the previous Saturday, they won't pick up points. And if they don't pick up points, they will tumble down the league. They've got the second biggest salary. They should be second in the league. They are punching well below their weight. And part of that is down to the fact that without a manager, the team is rudderless and is just drifting aimlessly, probably towards the bottom six. They need a manager. They need a proper manager. They need investment in the team. I know it. You know it. Mark knows it. And if the directors don't know it, they're about to be told all about it on Thursday morning.
Thank you to Mark and Newton Mearns. Any more on this teaser? We're looking for the 10 oldest English Premier League goal scorers. You've already given me Sheringham, Giggs and Hughes.
I've got Stuart Pearce.
Yes, well done.
I was thinking back to the old Everton defenders. I'm going to go either Dave Watson or Richard Goff.
Neither.
No?
Gary Speed.
Yes.
Jermaine Defoe.
No.
Oh.
So you've got five, you're halfway
well,
there.
You got when you mentioned Gary Speed, he was in that Bolton team that had all the old guys, and Yuri Djorkaeff, people like that.
None of them, they were all quite close when I looked outside the...
Mick Hartford.
I don't believe you just got that. Where is your phone?
My phone's in my pocket.
You've got somebody's in his ear. I cannot believe you got that. That's a superb shout. No offence or anything.
Different class.
No offence, but aye. Mike Hartford. Well
Brian
done.
Dean.
Nope. So has Gordon still got them all so far?
He has. Yes.
This is incredible. We'll get the answers to the full time teaser.
Far older than me. Ready made question for that.
We'll get the answer to the full time teaser, and we're going to speak to Stevie and Strathblane next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap in. Please gamble responsibly.
Into the final part of tonight's show, Roger Hanna, the Scottish Sun, and Gordon DL, both with me, Gordon Duncan. We're going about this full-time teaser, and Roger Hanna, I've never seen him toil so much on the full-time teaser. We're looking for the 10 oldest scorers in the English Premier League. Did you come up with any during the break there?
Got one, yeah. Apparently,
you think you've got one
supreme.
Anyway.
Supreme. Graham Alexander at Burnley.
Scott as well. Well done, yep. Graham Alexander. He was 38 and a half when he scored for Burnley. So
listen, can I just point out, as Ali Graham or Craig Brewster will tell you, you know, there's only so many times you can carry Dale. Eventually Dale is going to have to perform
day.
On his own.
You're and doing well.
Tonight's a night he's been absolutely fantastic.
Right, you see, I think you've got three to go, and they are quite tough. So I'm going to give you a bit of a clue for two of them. Now there are two that have a Rangers connection.
Uh-huh.
I.e. one played with Rangers.
Yeah.
And one has a family member.
Yeah.
Linked with Rangers.
Family member. Family member must be Josh Windass and Dean Windass.
Dean Windass, well done.
There we are.
So we'll get back to
it.
You've got another. You've got an ex-Rangers player in there, right. And one which is just completely out of left field. Stevie's in Strathblane. Hi, Stevie.
Evening, lads.
Hello. Hi, Stevie.
I'd like to make a comment about the Scott Sinclair thing, but before I do that, some advice for Dave King ahead of the AGM. Rather than wasting time trying to talk to Derek McInnes, we better talk to Derek Acora, because Rangers have been dead for 5 years.
Oh,
anyway, moving
Stevie,
on.
Stevie, come on. Right, spare me the comedian act. Come on, Stevie.
Like, I was at the game, but I didn't see the penalty incident because I was at the opposite end of the park, near the Motherwell end, right? I haven't had a chance to watch it on the TV, so I can only go by the Motherwell team boss reaction and what you guys are saying. And my point is that we hear this phrase in football used a lot, that these things even themselves out. Now, Celtic were denied the potential treble with the Josh Meekins handball. The boy for Hearts, Jamie Walker, got done for diving, didn't affect the result. The boy for Alex Schalk, or Schalk, or however you pronounce his name, for Ross County, that did affect the result. So, you know, Celtic have suffered. I would say Celtic have had decisions more to their detriment than to their benefit over recent seasons, and possibly, listening to you guys, they might have got away with that on Saturday. And as far as I'm concerned, well, as you guys say, these things even themselves out, or they will only use that phrase when Celtic are suffering.
Well, to be fair, if you're going to have that wee dig, Hugh Keevans actually said that phrase, so the answer would be no, because that's what he said. On Stevie's point, Roger, I have absolutely no idea if Celtic have had more decisions against them or for them in the last few years. I haven't been keeping count.
It's strange, actually, because there was a great stat a week passing Saturday in the show. Murdo McLeod said Celtic hadn't had a penalty in the league all season, which I found amazing simply because of the fact, if you watch Celtic play,
they're attacking so often.
They attack often, and they're in the opposition box a lot. And teams who attack a lot and are in the opposition box a lot tend to get a lot of penalties. or a higher proportion of penalties. So it actually surprised me when Murdo came out with that. And then in
a day later,
after, well, no, a week. I think it was a week later.
Was it?
But after the controversy on Sunday, Brendan Rodgers actually said he too was quite surprised at how few Celtic penalties have been awarded domestically. He cited his time at Swansea when they were near the top of the Championship, his time at Liverpool when they were near the top of the Premiership, and he said because the teams were offensive, attacking teams, did a lot of time in the opposition penalty area, they got a reasonably high proportion of penalty kicks compared to teams down near the bottom. And he said Celtic in recent times hadn't had that proportion of penalty kicks. They got one at the weekend. I personally think it was a fortuitous one. I wouldn't have given it. I wouldn't have given the one for Louis Malt at the other end either, Gordon. But do they even themselves out? I don't know. But very possibly they do. I don't know.
Gordon Deal.
Well, you can argue the point, even itself out, but is that any consolation to Motherwell in the cup final? I still believe, Gordon, sitting watching the game, that I'd always a feeling that Celtic could up the gears and go and win the cup final. I really did. And when James Forrest put the ball in the back of net, I know that you can have the argument that Louis Malt had a terrific header and Greg Gordon had a magnificent save, could have made it one each. But I just felt in the second half, Celtic come out with a bit more purpose. Brendan Rodgers must have had a few chosen words to one or two players, because they were well below par in the first half, and that's all credit to Motherwell, the way they went about their business. But I had a feeling sitting there at Hampden that Celtic could have upped the gears, and I think they would have gone on and won it. But I don't think, and it's all about opinions, and this will rage on for weeks and weeks, I do not think it was a penalty in a million years. I think it was a real bad decision.
And Roger touched on it earlier, the way that it all sets up for tomorrow night. I mean, we probably exaggerate these things, you know. I mean, Motherwell would love to have beaten Celtic on Sunday. Mm-hmm. They'll still want to beat them tomorrow. I don't think that changes, really. What is significant is that Celtic perhaps have the luxury of making better changes to the team than Motherwell can to handle these three games in a row. So it's going to be interesting to see, because we got to this point in the season, Gordon, and they hadn't played each other at all, and they now play each other three times in a week.
Well, what you touch on is right there, and you witnessed it at Hampden and Sunday, Gordon, with the three substitutions that Brendan Rodgers brings on. Any day three would play every single week by any other team in the Scottish Premiership. So he's got so much quality there to bring on. He's got players that he can change it without weakening the side tomorrow night. Motherwell will work with a tight squad, but it's at Fir Park. There'll be a good crowd there, a good atmosphere. I think it'll be another terrific game. I think it'll be a different game for the cup final. I think Motherwell looked a little bit nervy because it was a cup final, and they knew that the first goal was going to be so important. In a league game, you've got that chance to keep going and play your own style of football. It's 3 points, Celtic and his favourites as usual, but it's a Fir Park, and Motherwell in the league this season's been terrific.
I can tell you, with 6 minutes on the clock, it's still St Mirren 0, Livingston 0, and that's a cracker at the top end of the Championship, isn't it, Roger?
Yeah, and regardless of the result, there'll be a new leader in the Championship tonight. I think a win or a draw for St Mirren takes them top. A win for Livingston would take them top, which would be an incredible achievement given they're the newly promoted team in the Championship. I thought St Mirren had maybe slightly gone off the boil, and then they go to Inverness, who hadn't conceded a goal in about 6 games, and they come back with all 3 points. So Livy at home tonight, Dumbarton at home on Saturday. It could be an enormous week for Jack Ross.
Yeah, it could indeed. Right, how are we getting on with this teaser? I think you've got two to go. The clue I gave you for one of them was that he had a Rangers connection, i.e. played for Rangers in the past.
The Dazzler's in. Go for it.
No way.
Yeah. I'm on fire tonight. Two guy.
That's a sensational shout. Two guy for Blackburn.
Yes.
He looked old as well, didn't he? That's what's giving it away. What a decent player he was in his day.
The last one, could the last one be Paul Scholes?
Let me tell you, I've asked you for the top 10 English Premier League oldest goal scorers. Paul Scholes is 11th.
I thought you were building up the drama and we're going to say I'd got it right.
He is 11th by a matter of days.
Really?
I'm talking days.
I'm
going to have to give you a clue.
One more clue.
Because we're running out of time. He was a teammate of Paul Scholes, and this is proper from left field. This is tough.
Do you want it, Roger? Because I've got it.
I don't believe you do, because this is honestly
I certainly don't
this
have
is
it.
A stinker.
No,
I can remember it.
The tune's on. Shout.
Schmeichel.
No way.
He's done it. I cannot believe it. Unbelievable. He's a goalkeeper. I never thought you were going to get it. Peter Schmeichel, well done. Thanks for everyone who played along at home as well. Thoughts go out to John in Hamilton. Hope he's okay tonight.
My prayers are with John.
Hashtag,
yeah.
Hashtag pray for John. Thanks to Roger Hanna of the Scottish Sun and Gordon DL for joining me on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Plenty of good games to get our teeth into tomorrow. I'll be joined by Alex Ray and Mark Wilson from 6.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.